everybody. Welcome back to our 4th of July extravaganza. Well, you can't go wrong with Sam Dixon, no matter what he's on to talk about. And he has been appearing with us since the very inception of this broadcast. Keith Alexander, yours truly. Jason Kessler, though. And what is going on now with just a couple of months away from some very serious trials stemming from what should have been and what would have been a very peaceful and law-ordained gathering of supporters of the great American Robert E. Lee in Charlottesville, Virginia. It turned into everything but that. Everything. Not just anything, but everything but that. That has been a big focal point of our broadcast tonight on this, our Independence Day weekend. We welcome you back. I want to thank, you know, one of the things I was going to do tonight was to read, Keith was reading them before the show tonight, just a mountain of mail, handwritten letters, handwritten cards, birthday cards to me a couple of days ago. Thank you so much for that, ladies and gentlemen. Keith, we can't read them. We don't have the time, but at least on the air, we did read them, of course, separately and together. Give me 30 seconds on what it means to read the sort of correspondence that we receive here at this program every week.
Well, I tell you, it's humbling. It's very humbling to see the loyalty of the people that follow our show, the intelligence of the people that do that, the integrity that just comes through in all those letters. We are fighting for our lives, just like Sam Dixon said. You know, the other side is not satisfied to just lord it over us or to be in the position of power and authority over us. They want us dead. As white Gentiles, they want us dead. And as a result, we all need to understand we're in a fight for our lives. And I think our listeners do that. And this is very serious. This is as serious as it gets. They will never stop. Nothing will satisfy them except your head on a pike, folks.
I'm going to read through just some of these. Again, we had intended to spend a half hour on this, just reading from the mailbag and shouting out to the cities from which we have received support in recent days. I'm going to go through this very quickly, and then we're going to go to Keith. Virginia, Maryville, Tennessee, Marietta, Georgia, Aurora, Nebraska, Canover, North Carolina, Diamond Head, Mississippi, Chicago, Illinois, Sheridan, Arkansas, Mesquite, Nevada, Lawrenceville, Virginia, Gaithersburg, Maryland, Troy, New York, Thomasville, Georgia, Green Valley, Arizona, San Marcos, California, Hazard, Kentucky, Delray Beach, Florida, Canton, New York, Mineral, Virginia, Troutdale, Virginia, Springfield, Missouri, Parksville, British Columbia, Santa Rosa, California, Covington, Louisiana, Beecher, Illinois, St. Petersburg, Florida, Seminole, Florida, Woodville, Florida, Dolores, Colorado, La Grande, Oregon, Medina, Ohio, San Luis Obispo, California, Piedmont, Oklahoma, Rock Springs, Georgia, Blanco, Texas, Montville, New Jersey, Greenville, South Carolina, Live Oak, Florida, Collinsville, Illinois, Dunwoody, Georgia, Hot Springs, South Dakota, Charleston, South Carolina, Salt Lake City, Utah, Boynton Beach, Florida, Union, Oregon, Brazil, around the world, across the country, Keith. That's where people are tuned into our show tonight. We love you. God bless you. Your gift packages are on the way. Thank you for your support of our second quarter fundraising drive, which just wrapped on June the 30th. Now, Keith, going back to the extended discussion we had with Sam Dixon and then Jason Kessler and Sam Dixon, Charlottesville Freedom, 4th of July, your takeaways, your reflections upon the conversations that have been had tonight.
Well, it's like Sam said, they have dropped the mask. We had a mask somewhat during the Civil Rights Movement, the Second Reconstruction, but they're doing the same thing to Jason that they did to Edgar A. Killen and other people of civil rights, people that opposed the Civil Rights Movement. They went after them relentlessly.
Well, except like they did Jason Kessler. I mean, it's undoubtable he did not commit a crime. I mean,
well,
it's undoubtable.
But on the other hand, for the left, they don't care whether you committed a crime or not. If you're on the opposition, nobody bucks the revolution and gets away with it. Edgar A. Killen doesn't. People and, you know, whoever it was that dared to have a discouraging word or to stand up against, well, let's be honest with it, it's Jewish power and influence.
Or who dared to show up at the president's request on January the 6th.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you are associated with opposition to the leftist transformation of America. They're not going to let you get away with it. They're going to come after you hammer and tongs. And they're getting bolder and, you know, more dismissive of your rights. You have nothing. Yet basically, they're in charge, and they're going to let you know they're in charge. They're in charge because they're in charge of the media, just like they were in the Civil Rights Movement. When you control the media, the medium is the message, as Marshall McLuhan said. This is what gets out. They're going to continue to grind us into Little Mac burgers if they can. And we're going to have to fight. See, you know, they're going after Carolyn Milam now, the only white person associated with the Emmett Till thing, trying to find something to hang a prosecution on her about. Why? To show that nobody bucks a revolution and gets away with it. They are looking, just like they were looking after World War II, for 95-year-old former concentration camp guards like Don Zemjanjuk to haul into the dock over in Israel, find him guilty, and make him live the remainder of his pathetic life with a walker and an oxygen tank, just to prove that there's no milk of human kindness, there's no relenting, there's no forbearance. They're coming after you. And on the other hand, we have to be the same way when it comes to defense. Remember that if the left had not carried Brown versus Board of Education all the way to the Supreme Court, it would have been a decision in favor of legal segregation, because they lost at the Court of Appeals level and at the U.S. District Court level. We need to be able to match the resources that the left have, because as they say, money talks and BS walks. And that's what happens. If you can't come up with the money to defend yourself, you will be pulverized by the relentless juggernaut of the left. That's where Jason Kessler is right now. This is where all of his co-defendants are, or our co-plaintiffs in this lawsuit. They basically have a good case. They need to be prepared to carry it all the way to the very end, all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court if necessary, to get justice. And, you know, this is put up or shut up time for people on the right. This is where you either, you know, lead, follow, or get out of the way.
We got a surprise for you, ladies and gentlemen. In the next segment, this was completely unplanned and unscripted, but we're going to have a member of the listening audience, was a dear friend of ours who was there in Virginia on that day. And we're going to bring Jason Kessler back for a single segment encore appearance so that this participant and this organizer can speak one-to-one. Stay tuned.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt. And there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes, especially on holiday weekend broadcast, the show sort of writes its own script, and this was completely unplanned, completely unscripted, but we brought Jason Kessler back for a reprise, a little encore tonight, along with a dear friend of ours and an avid listener of this program, dear supporter, who was there in Virginia on August the 12th, 2017. He was a participant, and he's an upstanding man. He's one of the greatest men I know, and I've had the honor and privilege of being able to know him, and I know dozens of people who were there that day who match his caliber. Now, I can't vouch for each of the thousands of people who were there that day, particularly the government provocateurs who were inserted into the Unite the Right crowd, but I know numbers of men who were there who I would be willing to stand with shoulder to shoulder, come what may. Rich is one of them. He calls in from Nashville tonight. Rich, a question, a comment for Jason, who has come back to the show to speak with you based upon what you've heard tonight.
Well, good evening, everybody. Jason, my hat's off to you, my man. You have been indefatigable during this whole ordeal. I was there at Charlottesville. I was with the, I was the chairman of the Tennessee League of the South. So we were in that column that broke through that line of clergy to get into the park up there. I was involved peripherally with the street battle in front of the Market Street parking garage. I was within steps of Harold Cruz, who got clobbered in the back of the head, and I got decked too by an Antifa there. So before I decided to sit over there on the police steps and watch the cops watch the fight going on. But I got to hand it to you. You've been staying in there with the fight. And, I mean, I know how expensive these things are and how how frustratingly maddening they are, the legal system. Anybody that hasn't really been up in been involved in the legal system in a personal way has no idea how extremely difficult it is and how expensive it is to pursue a case like this. And you're up against daunting odds.
Resources.
And there's all kinds of money arrayed against us. And I encourage everybody to support you. I'm going to send you another check. I sent you one a while back. And I'm going to encourage everybody I know to support you. I do have a question about the trial. Is this going to be a jury trial or is it a bench trial?
Hey, it's good to hear from you again, Richard. You were definitely one of the most honorable protesters that day, and it was totally unfair how you were attacked, and we know who attacked you, Rachel Miles, and of course, of the violent Antifa.
Yeah, the FBI knows, too. I gave them all the dope on her.
Yeah, the FBI is working with the Antifa, by not charging them, they're working with them. But to answer your question, Yes, it is going to be a jury trial. Everybody always says, well, why don't you do a bench trial? We don't really have a choice in the matter, and so we're not going to shirk away from it. The plaintiffs want a jury trial, and we know we can convince at least one person. It's a federal trial. We only need one. And these people are going to be so shocked when they see all the evidence that has been withheld from them, they're going to do a double take. The peaceful protesters that were convicted domestic terrorists and had been convicted of hiding the bodies of murder victims and all kinds of nasty stuff, the quote-unquote peaceful protesters.
Right. I wish. Is this judge that you're going before, is that the same one that granted the injunction against the city, or is it a different one?
No, it's a different one. Unfortunately, Judge Conrad, he passed away. And, you know, after he gave us that favorable decision in the ACLU case, he was never allowed to touch another Charlottesville case. They've given every single case to Bill Clinton appointee named Judge Norman Moon since then.
Right. Yeah.
Well, you know, I got to say again for a point of emphasis that it would be so much easier and more convenient to just turn your cheek away, turn your head away from what these people, these good people are suffering. But that's not our way. That is not our way. I mean, we have been for the last 17 years one of the most attacked entities of the right, but this will welcome more attacks, and I welcome them because I'm doing what's right. I'm doing what's right by my estimation, and I will always stand with my head held high, my shoulders squared against the enemy if I am sure of what I am doing is right. And what is right is to support the efforts of Jason Kessler in this endeavor. And we have told you how to do so. I have already seen just in real time as this program commences, some of the listeners in TPC Nation have given. We ask more to you to give. GiveSendGo.com/UTR. You can give anonymously. I promise you, Jason, correct me, call me a liar, but if you give anonymously through this GiveSendGo.com/UTR, Antifa is not going to show up at your house. You can give completely anonymously. You will not be identified, correct?
That's right. This is not a left-wing site like GoFundMe. This is a Christian fundraising site. It's raised money for not just the Charlottesville people, but, you know, normal people, Proud Boys, January 6th defendants, lots of people. And you don't have to worry about whether the money's going to make it to us. They don't hold on to it forever and then decide whether they're going to give it to you once the left-wing media contacts them or whatever. They give the money right away to the attorney.
So we want to see people do that, and we'll be keeping tabs on it. Rich, final word to you.
Let me jump in here and say something. I'm a little bit older than you two. I'm 66. I've been, you know, fighting this since early 90s, I guess. I guess what really woke me up was, you know, the L.A. riots when I saw how that was handled and the things that were going on for there. But it occurred to me the other day, and I was talking to some friends, that everything that I've been fighting against for the last 30 years has come to pass. We are in a titanic struggle for the future of this country. I personally don't think this country has a future because the opposition is so entrenched and so wealthy that we're going to win some battles here and there. And I certainly hope we win in Charlottesville. And like you say, it just takes one juror to foul up the works.
They can set this trial up against us. They can rig it, perhaps, but they can't stop us from giving a defense. And the world is going to be watching there. And the fact is if we beat them, after all the money they've spent, after all the resources, the ADL, all these people getting behind them, it is going to be an embarrassment of historic proportions for them. And I don't think they're ready for that. I don't think they're ready for the possibility that they could lose this thing. They're very arrogant.
Well, let me tell all of you that you need to be prepared to take it all the way to the Supreme Court because these people are relentless. Rich said he's been fighting it for the past 30 years. I've been fighting it for the past 60 years. I go back to the original civil rights movement, and I can tell you.
Well, let me tell you something about the Supreme Court.
This is all part of the same thing.
Let me tell you something about the Supreme Court. I had, some of you may know, I had a big argument with the federal government over what the meaning of the Second Amendment was back in 2004 and 2005. Yeah, and I went to jail over it, and I appealed twice to the Supreme Court. In fact, at the very same time that the Heller case was up there, which was a contrived case, by the way. And the composition of the court then was not favorable. It's even less so now. All you've got to do is look at how they behaved during the election crisis.
But you can't give up. No surrender, no retreat, no apology.
Well, we'll throw the kitchen sink at it, that's for sure. That's what men like Rich has done for a lifetime. Jason, thank you for the example you're setting, and we do our part here to the best of our abilities. Ladies and gentlemen, givesandgo.com/UTR. Jason, thanks for coming back for one quick segment. Rich, always good to talk to you. We're going to wrap up the show with Jack Ryan coming up next.
Yeah.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Authorities in Florida say the confirmed death toll in the Surfside condo tower collapse has risen to 24 after two more bodies were pulled from the rubble. 121 residents still remain missing. Miami-Dade County Mayor Daniela Levine Cava said Saturday that search and rescue operations have been temporarily halted while work begins to demolish the part of the structure that has remained standing. Efforts to raise the remaining part of the building have been accelerated with the approach of Tropical Storm Elsa. There are concerns that the storm's winds could bring down the remaining structure. And at least 200 companies were the victims of a ransomware attack on Friday, targeting the networks of small businesses. Cybersecurity experts say the attack was focused on a network software supplier to spread the malicious software. The Russia-based criminal group Reval is being blamed for the attack, the same group that is believed to have perpetrated the attack on meat supplier JBS earlier this year. You're listening to USA Radio News.
The best companion a pillow has ever had. You've heard me talking about Mike Lindell's Giza Dreams bed sheets now for a couple of years. They're the perfect companion to the MyPillow, made with the world's best cotton called Giza, grown only in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River. Its long staple cotton makes it ultra soft and breathable. And just like the MyPillow, there's a 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty. Try it for yourself. Mike Lindell and I promise you'll sleep better or you get your money back. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA. You'll get 2-for-1 pricing plus free shipping, but only by using my promo code USA. Or call 1-800-951-8175 and ask for the Giza Dream Sheets Special. And the promo code USA gets you up to 66% off the entire line of MyPillow products. Sleep better with the Giza Dreams bed sheets and save at MyPillow.com. Promo code USA.
More on our top story now as authorities in Florida announced Saturday that the portion of the Champlain South condominium tower that remains standing will be demolished. Governor Ron DeSantis explained that the approaching tropical storm Elsa accelerated their decision.
I'm pleased to announce the state will pay for all costs associated with the demolition of the remaining structure. Yesterday, we spoke with both County Mayor Cava and City Mayor Burkett's teams who made the decision to pursue the demolition for the building. I'm supportive of it. I think it's the right thing to do. At the end of the day, that building is too unsafe to let people go back in. I know there's a lot of people who were able to get out, fortunately, who have things there. We're very sensitive to that, but I don't think there's any way you could let somebody go up in that building given the shape that it's in now.
Crews have temporarily halted search and rescue operations while workers begin demolition work. The death toll in the collapse now stands at 24, with 121 people unaccounted for. This is USA Radio News.
We'll be right back.
right, everybody. Well, welcome back as we close this show out with TPC regular correspondent and cultural correspondent Jack Ryan, who is celebrating his Independence Day weekend in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hop, skip, and a jump, or a little bit more than that from his originating port of call, Chicago, Illinois. Jack, what are you doing in Charlotte?
I'm visiting a really close friend who I did some combat things in Chicago. Great guy. He's got a beautiful daughter. He's got some marital issues with his wife. I don't most Americans, but I'm hanging up with a buddy. But I'm also just checking out another place to scope, to flee to get around to. And I'm trying to reconnect with the South. Again, I've been trying to leave this part of Chicago since I was 7 years old, and some curse, I'm having a hard time getting out of here. But I'm down here in Charlotte. I'm staying in the suburb of Charlotte, and it's really nice. People are healthy. I've had more attractive, good-looking women be nice to me in 2 days in Charlotte than the last year in Chicago. So
I remember Charlotte. I've been to Charlotte. I've been to Winthrop University over there in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Beautiful girls, beautiful women. And, you know, you're in the Queen City tonight, Jack. That's where you're at, and thank God for that. On this
Queen City of the South, they call it.
Well, I like the way Southern cities and some states are named after beautiful women, like Charlotte and Savannah. In Northern cities, they're not.
I drove through Savannah just last week. You know, I was taking my family on a little tour of the Southern Georgia, Northern Florida, Mississippi, Alabama. We did all of that, and that was a lot of fun. But yeah, we drove right through Savannah. And saw some pretty country. Jack, tell us about the song tonight. Let me pull it back up here. Where's your text message? My God.
Okay, well, the
song
is...
Just tell me, just tell me.
And she was part of a band, 10,000 Maniacs. I just thought they were a good group. I thought she was a good lead singer. But the reason why I chose it, because it sort of reflects my view about 4th of July Declaration of Independence, is that regular Americans want a patriotic holiday. They want to fly the flag and be proud. It's sort of like Bastille Day in France. It's a patriotic French day. Like, with the real events of the storming of the Bastille are really bad for civilization, opening up, you know, the prisons and then inciting the mobs to kill the kings and nobilities. And the Declaration of Independence, to me, is just a ridiculous document. You'd have to wait until John Lennon's Imagine in 1971, the final piece of nonsense of just universal human equality. And how do you know that's universal human equality for men? Well, because it's self-evident. And I'm thinking, like, well, there's like 900 million people in India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and they have male sons. Are they like equal to come to our place? Well, whatever. You know, plus it was written by Thomas Jefferson when he was a slave owner. So if he believed in universal equality, then why was he a slave owner? But you don't really want to get into all that stuff on the holiday, because Americans just want a patriotic holiday. And I know that Keith's favorite time is like 1955 to 1963. And during that time, the traditional American holidays were Easter, Washington's birthday, Memorial Day, Independence Day, 4th of July, Labor Day, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. And those were just patriotic American games, and people from other ethnic or racial groups would celebrate it in their own way, but that's the way it was. And now you got all these other political culture ones, and they're trying to push out the traditional holidays. So they have pushed out Washington's birthday, Martin Luther King's birthday, they got Black History Month, they got Homosexual Pride Month, but they're trying to, they just push.
Well, guess what, Jack? They're not only going to push out those holidays, they're going to push out the people that celebrate them, like you and me and James.
That's the idea, but they just put in this new one, Juneteenth, to push away 4th of July Patriotic Day. So it's not really up for me to get quibbling and fighting about the Declaration of Independence and saying I would have been a loyalist for the British Crown. I really want to tell our audience that it's just going to upset people. People want a patriotic holiday, traditional 4th of July patriotism, wave the flag and do some fireworks. But being in Chicago, the last thing you want is to be a large street fireworks display, and then, you know, there's bombs going off, people shooting guns, and then you've got 5,000, 10,000 unsupervised teenage youths, you know, right? You know, so that's the last thing you want. So I would like to say no fireworks on there, but let our people, like the song says, you know, give them what they want. Let our people what they want. They want a patriotic 4th of July, old-fashioned patriotic 4th of July. let's give them, including the listeners of TPC. I'm not going to try to say you can't celebrate Independence Day.
Well, I can say this, that I think the sun is setting on celebrations like the 4th of July now. Juneteenth is in the ascendancy. We're in the descendancy, I guess you would say.
But no one does Kwanzaa. They tried that Kwanzaa to push away Christmas. I don't think this Juneteenth is going to push away the page. It's another excuse for blacks to be, you know, rebellious and teenagers to.
Rebellious and full of grievance pays off for them nowadays. You know, that used to be the type of outlook that would sabotage your attempts at, climbing the ladder of society. Right. Now it's very facilitative. It's what you can do to get paid millions by George Soros.
Well, it is, but other people are pushing back. And I think that Italians pushed back in Philadelphia. They knocked down the Christopher Columbus statues in a lot of places, including in Columbus Street in downtown Chicago, but they didn't get it in Philly. They're going to push back in other areas. I'm looking really positive about some tough, whiter Hispanics. I'm seeing some good stuff. And I didn't know that, like, Columbia was right on the top of South America. So you can go down from Charlotte. You can get there in 5 hours, and there's lots of great-looking European women in Colombia and, like, getting out of Venezuela. So a young bachelor, if you're looking for some opportunities, this is something I would look into. And these European Hispanics in places like Colombia, lots of good-looking women, and they like us. So there's other options. We can't give in to despair. But as the song says, you know, give them what they want. Let our people have a 4th of July, and I'm not going to push this too much that the English and British were right, but they were. They just the South.
Jack. I've got a story just for you after the next segment. Well, maybe I'll work it in right now. But as I speak with Jack, I hear fireworks right outside the studio window.
Well, we hope they're fireworks.
Could be gunfire. You never know around here, but, wouldn't be surprising. But, no, listen, Jack, you know, so you brought this up last year. You root for the British every 4th of July.
Right.
And I said, well, if the British had won, my take on that is we'd just be 20 or 30 years further down the woke progressive chain of...
Look at the shape they're in now.
However, Sam Dixon, when I was speaking with him a couple of days ago, he said he too laments the fact of how the Revolutionary War went. He said, and he mentioned it earlier tonight, that yes, the colonies should have been freed, but it shouldn't have been... litigated through war, and he made mention of the fact that the Tories were perhaps the greatest of the stock that we had here on this continent, and they were displaced. But he also shared with me the story of a friend of his, and his name was Cornelius, and he had three or four middle names. But Cornelius had shared with Sam that his ancestor had fought in the Revolutionary War. And so Sam asked him, well, are you a member of the Sons of the American Revolution? He said, no, I can't be. And he said, well, why not? He said, well, because my ancestors fought for the British.
Well, I was telling you, James, that my ancestor, I found out this through Ancestry.com, was General William Alexander, who covered Washington's ignominious retreat from the Battle of Long Island. If it hadn't been for William Alexander's efforts, they probably would have caught Washington, and the American Revolution would not have been a victory for America. It would have been a victory for Britain.
Well, so, this is what I say all the time. So maybe it was your genetic predisposition, Keith, that led you to where you are today, as humble as it is compared to such a glorious ancestor. I mean, you should have royalties for that. I mean, you know, the American government should be paying you. What are the blacks asking for?
I don't know. Black billionaire that wants $47 billion.
Yeah, but what is it called?
Reparations.
You need reparations. I mean, if your ancestor saved the country... or save the revolution, you should be,
afraid they'll decide that we owe them money now.
All right. Anyway, Jack. Well, anyway, I like Sam Dixon's story, and he's right that so many of the finer people were displaced. So many of the leading, the aristocracy, the betters of our society, they didn't do so well in that war. Well, anyway, we're going to take a break. We'll come back with Jack Ryan, and we'll wrap up this Independence Day weekend broadcast. Stay tuned. More time, power, we say.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
So, you two are real actors, huh?
Well, I was an extra on a soap opera for 3 years.
And I'm best known for starring in cat food commercials. Mm. Yeah.
And you're going to play our parents for how long?
Oh, just during dinner for the next few years, probably until you're both off to college. Your real parents will be back every night at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock?
Hey, your dad's busy. He's got work, softball, client functions.
Yeah, and your mom, she's got the literary club and play rehearsals. So.
Don't you worry. They'll be back on time.
Otherwise, we get time and a half.
Ka-ching! Okay, according to the script, we're supposed to ask you how your day was.
Yes.
Okay, I guess.
Ooh, is that the best you can do?
I think I want my real parents.
I don't see that in the script.
No ad-libbing, please.
There's no substitute for a loving parent. And when you're really there, you'll know how much you care. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, for more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
Way up, way up,
north to Alaska, go north, the rush is on. North to Alaska, go north, the rush is on. Big Sam left Seattle in the year of 92 with George Pratt, his partner, and brother Billy too. They crossed the Yukon River and found the Bonanza Gold below that old white mountain, just a little southeast of Nome. Sam crossed the majestic mountains to the valleys far below. He talked to his team of Huskies as he mushed on through the snow, with the northern lights a-running wild in the land of the midnight sun. Yes, Sam McCord was a mighty man in the year of 1901. Where the river is winding, big nuggets they're finding. North to Alaska, go north, the rush is on.
Oh, that's where it's at, my friend Keith Alexander. Keith Alexander shuffling the cards tonight on that last song. That was a song my dad introduced me to when I was a kid, and I asked Keith just in the last break. I said, "Keith, you know, I don't have any more music tonight. What should we play?" And he said, "Well, how about Johnny Reb?" I said, "Well, you know, we could always go with Johnny Reb, but you know, it's more for Confederate History Month." I said, and he said, "Well, what about the Battle of New Orleans?" I said, "Yeah, well, what about North to Alaska?" He said, "Yeah, play North to Alaska." But I said, "But how is that germane to the discussion tonight of independence and freedom?" And he said, "Well, it's not, but it's Johnny Horton." You know, you can't argue with that, can you, Keith Alexander?
I mean, Johnny Horton was a great American original singer. I mean, Battle of New Orleans, North to Alaska. What a great John Wayne movie, by the way. I was watching Liberty Valance this week. John Wayne in love. If you ever want to see a movie that has the rare event of John Wayne being in love, watch The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance or watch North to Alaska. I mean, they just don't have singers like Johnny Horton
Where
anymore.
The river is winding, big nuggets they're finding.
North to Alaska, we're going north. The rush
well, you know,
is on.
Jack Ryan, we may have to go north to Alaska and then cross the Bering Strait to find freedom anymore. What do you think?
Well, my view is that I hope my kinsmen, the Russians, get back Alaska. So I'm 25% Russian.
Wants the Russians to take back Alaska. That's what we've got here.
They don't
ladies and gentlemen.
Have trannies exposing themselves to little girls in Russia without getting some pushback. I think the current leader, Vladimir Putin, he's the best Russian leader since, you know, really, my ancestors, Catherine the Great and Peter the Great. I think he knows he's real political, and he handles religion and ethnic ones. He handles the.
I think he sees himself as the father of the Russian people, the historic Russian nation. Now he's pretty ruthless with his local adversaries like Navalny. I've never heard
of
poisoned underwear before, but
what
are
he allegedly did to the reporters.
You
would hate to see
in the Middle East if it hadn't been for Russian intervention. The Russians did a great job in Syria, and I think they understand the reality, and the Russians are tough people.
Well, they will stand up. Well, that's why the reason why our elites are so anti-Russian now is because of things like that. See, they thought that Tsarist Russia was terrible, but they love Soviet. They love Soviet Russia because Jewish Bolsheviks were in charge. Since the fall of the Soviet Union, they've gone back to hating Russia.
Hey, who did your ancestors fight for, Jack?
In which what? Russia or U.S.?
Yeah, in the 1917 revolution.
Oh, my grandfather was in the White Army. We were a noble family, and he was a teenager, and he fought in the White Army. And when he lost, his sisters went to France, and he came to Chicago. He was a linguist, so he ended up being a professor of the Indian language of Sanskrit in the United States. He was a smart guy. The original part of my family was the Germans married a German princess, the Russian Tsar, Catherine the Great, and then their first son was the start of my family. So there were Germans there, but they intermarried with regular Slavic Russians. So my grandfather and his sister, what a great woman. She lived in Paris, France from the 1920s until 2000. You could ask her about what was like in old Russia or when the Germans occupied Paris. She's just a fantastic woman, but they were very Slavic. So I'm mostly Midwestern, Anglo, British, and the like, but I'm a little bit Slavic, and I wouldn't trade my Slavic genes for anything. Slavics are tough people.
You're talking about Slavic, women and going somewhere. You need to look into Russian and Ukrainian women now.
Let's just hang on. Go, Jack.
I think that kind of the time has passed on that one. You look more like they're looking for an ATM machine, really, to get you.
Well,
so
what about this, gentlemen? Gentlemen, let me present this because I've been there. How about a Charleston debutante?
How about a
I didn't, I didn't know they had a dating site for those.
Well, if they did, buddy, I guarantee you'd want to see it.
No, regular Southern women, great. And my best girlfriend, a shout out to Cindy from Chattanooga. Maybe she's divorced from Rosen. What a great gal there. But regular people, regular women in the South, they don't have to be debutantes or like. They're just regular good folks. The women have been treating me great. And anything's got to be better than these big cities. Chicago women, Hillary
New York,
Clinton, Chelsea. There might be some predisposition to homosexuality, but I think the big problem in these cities is these men see these women like Chelsea Clinton, Hillary Clinton, or Elena Kagan. They might think I'm gay. I'm not attracted. I'm all
we go all over the map with Jack.
Well, I'll tell you, I enjoy Jack's segments the most. He's the only segments where I can laugh. I mean, Jack makes me laugh every time. Every time Jack is on, I legitimately and sincerely laugh.
Jack has checked out the women everywhere in the world. Tell me about an Eskimo woman dating service.
Wait a minute. I got to say this very quickly. We got to give thanks to the founders of the feast, and that is our sponsors at thekosherquestion.com, thekosherquestion.com, and americafirst.com. That's M-E-R-I-C-A-1-S-T.com. americafirst.com, thekosherquestion.com. But no, it has been a fun 4th of July. Jack's down in the South. I mean, at least ostensibly so. Charlotte, North Carolina. And, well, we've had a good show tonight. We've had a fun show. Jack always makes a fun show better.
He puts a cherry on top.
I love it. I love the rapport. I love the chemistry. I love the camaraderie. I love the comedy. I love being able to laugh a little bit. Jack, I want to play a little bit of another song that makes me think of my dad, if I could take that privilge here on this 4th of July.
So from that great period between 55 and 63.
Patriots are
It's not everybody's shooting fireworks or firearms. You never know in Memphis, but you never know at Bellevue either. You know, they had that fireworks show where they, you know, Bellevue loves Memphis, and they invited the inner city of Memphis. They had a shootout. And
another Russell Moore production.
All right. Jack,
listen up to this, Jack. It's from that wonderful period, 55 to 63.
We're about to do it, but let's let Jack make another comment here, and then Jack, give us 60 seconds, and I'll play a little bit of a tune. Name
okay, I'm
tune.
Sorry. I'm going inside this room. Just can you repeat? Do you want something from right now, or are you playing the music right now?
Well, what do you want? I mean, we can play a song. We can go to you. You want to play a song? Here's a song. Here we go. This is Gene Pitney live. So this is a little bit different than the version you may know.
John Wayne and Laurel.
When liberty balance ruled the town, the women folk were high, paid high. When liberty balance walked around, the men would step aside. Because the point of a gun was the only law that liberty understood. When it came to shooting straight and fast, he was mighty good. From out of the east, a stranger came, a law book in his hand. A man, the kind of a man the West would need to tame a troubled land. And at the point of a gun was the only law that liberty understood. When it came to shooting straight fast, he was mighty good. Many young men would face his gun, many young men would bow. The man who shot Liberty Valance, he shot Liberty Valance. He was the bravest of them all. A lovable crew can make a man stay on when he should go. Stay on, just trying to build a peaceful life where love is free to grow. But the point of a gun was the only law that liberty understood. When the final showdown came at last, a law book was no good. Alone and afraid, she prayed that he'd return that fateful night. That night, when nothing she said could keep her man from going out to fight. From the moment a girl gets to be full grown, every first thing she learned, when two men go out to face each other, only one returns. Everyone heard two shots ring out. One shot made liberty fall. The man who shot Liberty Valance, he shot Liberty Valance. He was the bravest of them all.
Want to dedicate that song to my own father, who introduced that to me. I sang that song to my oldest daughter and my middle child, my son, Henry, so many times. I would sing it to my nine-month-old, but she never sleeps, so I can't do that. But, Dad, I love you. Happy 4th of July, everybody. What a great song. Jack Ryan, we love you. We thank you for your friendship and fellowship and your participation on this program. For Sam Dixon and Jason Kessler, Keith Alexander, I'm James Edwards. Happy 4th of July, everybody, however you celebrate it. We'll talk to you next week from South Carolina.
And remember, for a fun 4th, get a 5th on the 3rd.
Love you, Jack. Enjoy the rest of your trip. Keith, talk to you soon. Everybody, we'll see you next week. Good night. Godspeed. Happy 4th.
All right.
Okay. Good night.